We had a 3-home-run game. We had a no-hitter. We had a near no-hitter. We had so much yesterday in baseball. It's Wednesday morning, and my head is spinning. Welcome to the show, Adam Azer, Scott White, Chris Towers. Wow, what a night, huh?
Hey!
Oh, what a night. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. No, I couldn't name that song or who sings it. You probably can.
That is Frankie Valli.
That's the Four Seasons, yes.
Never. The song is...
Oh, what a night!
It's like a date, right?
Oh, what
it's
a
like
night.
December 6, 1962 or something.
Is that what... Is it the date? Late December back in 63.
You guys are like that app where it hears the song playing and it tells you what
it is. It's December 63, parentheses, oh, comma, what a night.
Yeah, and you're talking about Shazam, Scott. Shazam.
That's the one.
Shazam.
That's the one, Adam. Adam... My morning got off to a rough start. You want to know why?
Yes.
Why? I discovered that scrambled egg yolks, which I think is a bit of a misnomer to begin with, but they don't taste good.
You just did the yolk?
Well, see, my wife just did the whites for some reason, and she
was like...
Well,
that's the thing people do.
She was like, I went ahead and cooked you these yolks because I knew you wouldn't want me to waste them, which tells you a little something about me, first of all.
Eggs are like a dozen for $2. You gotta let those egg yolks go.
Well, we buy the organic ones, which are like twice as much.
Wow.
And...
Wow. Prissy.
You know, I don't know what I was expecting, but it looked like scrambled eggs, and you bite into it, and it tastes like the inside of a hard-boiled egg.
Yeah, that's...
And your day is off to a bad start.
That does stink, but I'm sure you could easily get some... Just go... There's a McDonald's down the street. Get an egg McMuffin and be done with it.
Here's the thing. I ended up eating them all anyway, which probably also tells you something about me.
Yeah, no, I would have done the same thing. So we do have a shorter show on Wednesdays, and yesterday
don't
was like
talk about eggs.
Yeah, well, no, it was one egg story per show. You know, I always like one egg story per show.
that is the policy.
Yesterday was just awesome for fantasy baseball. We're going to talk about rookie starting pitchers. Try to read some emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Joey Votto hit 3 home runs. Yan Gomes hit 2 home runs. There were a couple of other guys who hit 2 home runs. Will Venable's playing well. We'll look at what's happening in bullpens right now, DFS if we have time, and watch Daily Fantasy Live at 6 p.m. Eastern on CBSSports.com to get all your DFS advice. Stat of the day from ESPN Boston, Eduardo Rodriguez, first pitcher in baseball history with 7 strikeouts, no more than 1 run allowed, no more than 3 hits allowed in each of his first 3 starts. And right into our tweet of the day from James Wells, I dropped Chris Heston in 3 leagues last night. Can you think of a worse-timed move? No.
I didn't do something quite so bad, but I did bench Heston this week in favor of Noah Syndergaard and Mike Foltynewicz, who combined for like 11 earned runs allowed in 12 innings last night.
I benched Heston, too.
All 3 of your actions made perfect sense based on what he had done.
Yeah, but now that we have hindsight, awful. Chris Heston was a must start.
Here's the thing.
Everybody knows that.
I wrote about this last night after the no-hitter in my blog. I know you're the one always talking about the blog, Chris, but I'm going to take a stab at it this time.
Whoa.
Is it about eggs, your latest blog post?
You need to trade Chris Heston, or try to. Assuming he was already owned. If he wasn't owned in your league and he was available in 1/3, you pick him up, you hope his next start's good also, and then try and trade him, because nobody's going to trade for a guy you just picked up off waivers, even if you did throw a no-hitter. I don't think this start, 11 strikeouts, 9 innings, is a complete fluke. I mean, he's made 12 starts this year, 7 have been 1 earned run or fewer, the other 5 have been 5 earned runs or more. And it's just, even though I like the peripherals, I like the ground ball rate, I like that the walk rate's good, the strikeout rate's decent for a pitcher who does get that many ground balls, I'm just so tired of the inconsistency and not knowing when to start him. And even in head-to-head leagues where the relief pitcher eligibility seemingly gives you such an advantage, those -5-point weeks are just as liable to lose it for you as the 30-point weeks are to win it for you. So you're, Heston single-handedly is making your team a .500 team, and I would take this no-hitter as my opportunity to rid myself of the headache and try and get something useful either at another position. I suggested maybe looking into Steven Strasburg as he rehabilitates from his injury.
If anybody trades Steven Strasburg for Chris Heston, they should be kicked out of fantasy baseball.
He just threw a no-hitter and had 11 strikeouts.
Nobody could be that dumb. I mean, nobody should be that dumb. Like, yes, in some leagues that could happen, but I think, like, let's just... Okay, you're right, Scott. You should try to trade Chris Heston. I get it. His value is very high right now, but I don't know that you're going to get that much from him because I think people know at this point, like, a no-hitter's cool, but... It's not. It doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Look at his season numbers. Look very good.
No, they don't.
16 win pace, 180 strikeout pace. He has a 1.19 WHIP.
He's got a what's his ERA? 3.77 ERA. Which anybody
it's
who's going to
high side, but all those other numbers.
But
are good.
Anybody who's going to trade you Steven Strasburg for Chris Heston is probably dumb enough to look at ERA and make every assumption about a starting pitcher. Look, if you can pull it off, I'm not going to disagree with the premise. I just don't think that you could get that, but. But I agree with you. I mean, that's the point I wanted to make. This was a brilliant start, but Tim Lincecum's thrown a no-hitter two straight seasons, which leads me to this next thought, is how fun is being a Giants fan? They have had a no-hitter in four straight years with Kane having a perfect game, Lincecum, and Heston now, the three straight no-nos, and three World Series in 5 years. They, like, how awesome is being a Giants fan?
I wanted to throw out one other ridiculous stat that I saw.
Yeah.
The last time the Cleveland Cavaliers hosted an NBA Finals Game 3 in Cleveland, there was also a no-hitter the same night.
Whoa.
Who threw it?
Justin Verlander in 2007.
Wow, how about that?
That was a... All right, so let's... Strasburg's too much. What about, like, an Iwakuma? Would you do that for Heston?
See, I don't know that I'd do that because Heston is still valuable. He should have been more owned than he was prior to this start.
Okay.
I think that's, you know, maybe I was overestimating his value. I've always seen him as a good pitcher, but a frustrating one, Heston.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I presume people pitcher. I'm trading him to will think of him as a good pitcher also. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
You know, the thing, Chris, is that Iwakuma hasn't been a good pitcher over his last, like, 2.5 months of pitching.
Okay.
So that, but I understand the premise. I'm not, what about like Anibal Sanchez? Would you trade Heston for Anibal Sanchez?
See, if I'm trading for Sanchez, I'm probably trying to buy a little lower than that even.
Yeah, that would be, I do think I would rank Sanchez ahead of Heston today, but it's not a big enough gap that's what I'd be willing to settle for.
Well, I wanted to look at all of the rookie starting pitchers that went last night. There were 8 of them, unless I missed one. Isn't that crazy? And they are, in terms of ownership percentage, Noah Syndergaard. Oh, by the way, this section is called, Looky, Looky, I've Got Rookies. In a way that only Rufio himself could have delivered that better. Everybody gets that joke?
I got it.
Is that Hook?
Yeah, it's Looky, Looky, I've Got Hooky. That's what Rufio says, right? Right before, spoiler alert.
That is a slow kids movie.
Right before he dies.
Slowest kids movies in existence.
I love that movie. alright, so we had, Syndergaard, Eduardo Rodriguez, who's just, he's like appointment viewing for me now. I love Eduardo Rodriguez. Carlos Rodon, who now in his last 4 starts has gone either 6 or 6 1/3 with 1 earned run or less in each start. And, strikeouts, you know, good overall because of a 10 strikeout game. So we have, again, Syndergaard, Rodriguez, Rodon, Chris Heston, Anthony DeSclafani, Trevor May, Robbie Ray. Pretty interesting, I think. And Taylor Youngman, who had a nice major league debut at Pittsburgh. What do you think about this group, guys?
It's pretty solid.
How about Syndergaard?
There's some guys that I definitely like.
Syndergaard got kind of... unlucky last night, but he did not have a good start.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I don't know. I still feel really good about Syndergaard. I think if I would trade Chris Heston for Syndergaard. Let's put it that way.
Right.
The previous start was bad also, but he's had 10 strikeouts in 4 innings in that one, and the walks have been down consistently. I just think a little bit of a rough patch here, but he'll be fine.
Would you rather have Eduardo Rodriguez or Noah Syndergaard?
I see them as almost mirror images of each other. The right-hander and the left-hander. Probably Syndergaard, but...
Yeah, I actually wrote a blog post last week comparing Rodriguez and McCullers. So I think that might be the better comparison, just because Syndergaard's just his pedigree so much higher that I think you have to assume his upside is higher.
I feel like Rodriguez gained so much just in like the last year and a half.
Yeah.
His prospect stock rose. So, and it was never like low to begin with. And I think like his like he throws 95 to 97 or something. So that's obviously a strength too, but he throws so many strikes and McCullers, if there is one knock on him, it's that he's kind of wild at times. So. I don't know. I think Rodriguez is closer to Syndergaard than McCullers, but they're all three very good.
Rest of season, Eduardo Rodriguez or Justin Verlander?
Rodriguez.
Yep.
Rodriguez or Gio Gonzalez? Call me crazy, but I would absolutely take Rodriguez, but I just not feeling Gio.
Yeah, I understand what you mean. Like, I don't feel like, other than just the inconsistency in the high ERA, Gio's been that different this year from who he's always been. And obviously it's turned out well for him in the end. So I'm kind of leaning Gonzalez there, but it would be tough to give up Rodriguez for him at this point.
Let's look at the guys, these rookies who are a little bit less owned. Guys like, Trevor May, Robbie Ray, Taylor Youngman, DeSclafani. Who's your favorite in that group?
I would say DeSclafani. I kind of like Robbie Ray's upside, but the walks finally showed, and he was doing that in the minors, so I just need to see a lot more from him. And Youngman had like a near 7 ERA, granted in the PCL, and crazy things can happen there, but I'm not buying into him after one start.
Yeah, so actually,
it's more about picking the least objectionable of the three.
I wanted to ask you about Youngman. So he has this good start in his debut at Pittsburgh. 7 innings, 3 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts. Minor league numbers not going to blow you away by any means. You're not like NL only. Are we picking up Taylor Youngman?
I mean, in NL only, if you're on a roster and you're getting playing time, you're probably getting picked up. So that's not even saying much. Sure, take a flyer on him, but I don't know how much there is there.
Fine. Would you drop like a middle of the road Matt Garza type pitcher for?
No.
No?
Okay. No.
So no faith in Youngman yet. Got to see more?
Well, I mean, Garza's competent. I mean, he's been okay recently. I just don't like it. Again, if you're talking about a deep enough league where Garza's owned in the first place, then Garza, you consider Garza an asset to your team.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I would say that out of that group, I'd take Trevor May.
Yeah.
Oh, there was another rookie in action last night. Carlos Correa, home run and a steal.
Never heard of him.
How about that? I'm not sure we have much more to say about Carlos Correa, but pretty good FanDuel value. That might go up now after yesterday.
200 his first day. We all started him, I think. Well, Chris, did you start him?
I have not started him yet.
Oh, well.
I haven't either.
Yesterday was his first day. Eligible, and on the show we were starting him just because of his price, and that was a long home run too for
it was
a 20 year old,
and it was kind of majestic. I thought, you know, like a high fly ball, not like a low line driver. It was just, which I thought showed his kind of raw power.
Yeah, it was so high that you're like, that's not getting out, or it'll barely get out. But then it was like a dozen rows back, and you're like, oh, okay.
By the way, speaking of FanDuel, the guy who won the tournament that I was in had everyone last night. Yeah. Everyone who was good. This dude scored 94 points,
oh
and he hit the lineup twice.
Wow.
He has 6 of the top 10 place finishes in this $5 entry fee tournament. So
it was an odd FanDuel day yesterday because, like, the best pitchers didn't do well, Kluber and Scherzer. But so many people started them that you probably still did well even if you started them.
Yep, I had Kluber and I finished with 41. I got my money back.
Yeah, and then if you started, I mean, there were so many multi-homer games that that the winners probably did turn out that
this guy had Yon, Joey Votto, and Giancarlo Stanton in addition to Heston.
If you're sitting at home or in your car or wherever, or you're running or whatever you're doing, you're like, I don't know what they're talking about. What's FanDuel? Well, get in on the action right now. Go to FanDuel.com. Not only is it super fun and really cheap and really easy to play, we also have a great offer code for you. If you want FanDuel to match your first deposit up to $200, it's going to get earned as you play. Use our offer code CBSPOD. Go to FanDuel.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. FanDuel starts at just $1, no season-long commitment, no sign-up fees, and I promise you're going to have a lot of fun filling out your roster every single day. More on FanDuel later if we have some time, and if we don't have time, and even if we do, I invite you to get more information 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern on CBSSports.com. We help you out with Daily Fantasy Live. Got some news to go over. Justin Verlander is going to make his season debut on Saturday. Give me your expectations for Verlander.
I'm hoping for, at this point, league average.
Okay.
I mean, is that too low?
Well, league average, like still major league average?
League average, or starting pitcher.
So somebody who's probably borderline rosterable?
Yeah, a high 3 ZRA.
That's, I mean, my expectations are low too. I'd probably value him a little more than that in like the hopes that he exceeds my expectations. Yeah. But, if he's just being dropped in mixed leagues 2 months from now, it wouldn't be a big surprise.
Matt Holliday's on the DL with a quad strain. Any outfielders that you like in St. Louis?
Let's see if Randall Grichuk can take a walk.
Oh.
He's got 3 on the season in about 100 at bats.
I bet you like that band, Passion Pit. You've probably seen 3 Passion Pit concerts.
I've never seen them, but they're pretty good, yeah.
That
yeah.
sounds like a terrible name.
They're pretty good.
The Passion Pit.
They come up with a
they
better
have
that
song, Take a Walk.
Yeah, Take a Walk. Passion Pit is a British term, isn't it?
I have no idea what it's referring to. I don't know the etymology of the band Passion Pit.
I'm gonna look that up. I think I've already looked it up.
Is it a euphemism? Are we talking dirty and don't know
no,
it?
No, I don't think it is.
Sounds like it could be dirty.
It does.
Matt Holliday, though, sounds like it's going to be, sounds like it could be a pretty long stint on the DL. They say 2 weeks of, before they can really tell how long it is, I think. So that doesn't sound great.
It might be a little bit dirty. A Passion Pit, I don't think it's British, but I think it refers to a drive-in movie theater.
Oh.
So it's a little dirty, but not like inappropriate dirty, I don't think.
Just, you know,
it could have been worse.
It's what kids do.
Jake Odorizzi is on the DL with an oblique strain. What's the Rays rotation looking like? Who fills in for Odorizzi? Oh, Matt Moore maybe soon?
If Matt Moore's healthy, sure. God, there was...
He's pretty close. He's getting close, but he's not that close.
There was I mean, they've had to have so many... They've had to call in the MASH squad so many times that it's just...
Yeah, you're not going to like who it is.
Yeah.
I think it's safe to say.
Evan Longoria expects to be back today, but he might have to play through some wrist soreness. The Cubs signed Rafael Soriano to a minor league contract. On a scale of 0 to 10, how much does this matter for fantasy?
I can't imagine it does. I wrote about it yesterday. They've had 3 different players pick up their last 3 saves. I like all 3 of them more than Soriano at this point in his career.
I think the answer is 0, Chris. Should have just said 0.
Sorry.
Nelson Cruz left with back spasms. A lot of injuries.
That was rude, Adam. Chris was trying to give you a thoughtful answer, and you just shut him down.
I respect the game. That's all I'm saying. I respect the 0 through 10. You know I like ometers.
I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to say 2, just to just to poke at you.
Fine. Works for me. Nelson Cruz left with back spasms. Keep an eye on that. Lloyd McClendon wants Fernando Rodney back in the closer's role.
Of course he does.
Remember, this is how I laid it out last week. We're going to take him out of the 9th inning role, get his confidence back. My prediction was he won't pitch well enough to do that. But unfortunately, Carson Smith got the save, but he did give up a solo home run.
He gave up a home run. He doesn't have his man muscles.
Jan Gomes certainly had his man muscles yesterday.
Still
no timetable for Adrian Beltre's return from a thumb injury. Aaron Sanchez having his next start skipped. He has general soreness. Kevin Gausman is making a rehab start either today or tomorrow. Is he going to be a rotation member at some point for Baltimore? Kevin Gausman.
Really hope so.
You know, when you said Sanchez has general soreness, that sounds like a hostage situation to me.
Really?
What?
He has soreness? The general?
Yeah.
Oh.
Al thinks of, like, Chinese food, like general soreness chicken. You think of a hostage situation. Chris and I have to come up with something clever for general soreness.
Yeah. I got nothing. I'm not clever.
Lance Lynn's going to have an MRI on his arm. Doesn't necessarily mean bad things, but keep an eye on that. Edwin Encarnacion got a cortisone injection, missed two games. Now he's back, and he hit a walk-off two-run homer off A.J. Ramos.
First home run A.J. Ramos has allowed in over a year.
Wow.
So not know. Particularly worried about that.
And Hunter Pence's wrist not getting better. Sorry, go ahead, Scott.
On the flip side, Encarnacion, the cortisone shot, the magic of the cortisone shot. We saw it with Jose Bautista. We're seeing it with Edwin Encarnacion.
Hey, man, you can get up to four of those in a calendar year, so just keep pumping them up.
But the only thing I didn't like about that was when he hit the home run. It was a walk-off homer. He's coming around third. Everybody's at home plate. And he's pointing to his shoulder like, don't touch my shoulder. So
it's the magic shoulder. Don't touch it.
Maybe he's saying, the shoulder's back, baby.
Oh, yeah, that's probably what it was.
I don't know. I didn't see it. I had to read the body language.
Yeah, I mean, I try to read the body language. I read body language at like a third grade level, so I probably shouldn't comment. Multi-homer club. Here's your multi-homer club from yesterday. Joey Votto, 3 dingers. Yeah. Last 16 games, 339 with 6 dingers and an OPS over 1200. Giancarlo Stanton, Yan Gomes, and Steven Drew each hit 2 home runs yesterday, giving Drew 9 home runs on the year, his second 2-homer game in his last 4. But we should probably talk a little bit about Joseph Votto.
We should. I mean, I don't know what really to say at this point. I think
it's fair to say he is Joseph Votto again.
Yeah, but I feel like every time we've talked about him, that's what we've said. So,
I guess we'll just
keep saying it.
Scott, I'll tell you this. I know you struggled recently. I don't know how much you struggled, but you recently moved Fielder ahead of Votto. You have Votto seventh at first base.
You got to move Votto back up. Overreact.
Yeah.
It's so close between those two. What might end up happening?
One
though,
of them has to be better, Scott. Say who it is right now.
I'm still taking Fielder.
I can't believe you would put Fielder. Sorry,
he just hit 3 home runs, Scott.
This is what people do.
Well, you know what might happen is they both might end up ahead of Edwin Encarnacion. Cortisone shot or not, right now I still have Encarnacion ahead of those two. And I do have faith in him, but it's just like, why would you take him over those two at this point?
I benched Chris Heston this week and I traded Joey Votto last week.
Mm-mm-mm.
Shame, shame, shame.
Mm-mm-mm.
Stanton,
I had an opportunity to trade for Joey Votto. I think the day before yesterday.
And you didn't do it.
And I turned it down, and he got traded to somebody else, and that makes me sad.
Let's hear the trade offer.
Well, it's a Dynasty League situation, so it's going to sound bad that I turned it down.
Let's not hear the trade offer then.
Yeah.
Stanton, 2 home runs. Gomes, 2 home runs. Gomes is 72% owned, and he was the number 6 catcher in points last year, number 4 in Roto. So somebody asked me on Twitter today, would you rather have Yan Gomes or Russell Martin? Like, yeah, easily Gomes. I feel like a lot of people probably have a catcher that's not as good as Yan Gomes.
Yeah, I don't know if it's that easy.
Oh, it's easy. But
I'm saying it's not Gomes.
Oh, what? You're taking Martin over Gomes?
Yeah.
No.
Look at Russell Martin's numbers.
Look at Donald Navarro has started half the game since he's come back. And Martin's numbers are very, very top-heavy, very early.
I'm not ready to give up on Martin just because of that.
I don't think you have to give up.
It becomes a... I mean, it's not like Gomes is playing every game.
I don't think you have to give up on Russell Martin, but Yan Gomes hit 20 home runs last year, 21.
I could see taking Gomes over Martin in a Roto League, but where walks count, I mean, it's Martin. It's got to be Martin.
Wow, I can't believe that. I think Russell Martin is just not a good player.
That's crazy.
Spoken like a true Yankees fan.
That is crazy.
Looking at his career, I mean, last year he totally over... Okay. You want me to give you Russell Martin's fantasy points over the last 4 weeks?
It hasn't been a good
9, 10, 10, 10, and now
but
5.
The thing is, those are his bad weeks, and he's still scoring you 10 points. That, I think, is a testament
to... What's 10 points? 10 points is not good.
His peripherals. I mean, well, look at what he did before those 4 weeks.
He's not that good of a player.
Plus point weeks. Just because it hasn't been a steady performance, what I'm saying is, if the lows are still 10 points... then you could live with that for the highs.
What did Yan Gomes do last year that's so unsustainable when he was a top 6 catcher? 6th in points, 4th in Roto.
he stayed healthy, which clearly has proven to be unsustainable.
Okay, well, he's back now. He's got his injury out of the
way. I'm just saying, the reason he ranks six is because he had a lot of games and a lot of at-bats. And I'm, in terms of per game production, it wasn't even close between him and Martin. It was close between Martin and Buster Posey, actually.
Yeah, well, Martin had a four, what did he have, a 402 on base percentage last year, and I don't see that happening. And if it's a categories league, then can we agree on Gomes in a categories league?
I'd still take Martin, but I wouldn't say you're wrong to take Gomes.
I'm very surprised by this league. Russell Martin love. Okay, I guess I have to reevaluate. Steven Drew, anyone care about him? 8% owned?
I wonder if somebody started him in FanDuel yesterday.
I haven't seen it in any.
Yeah. Any you sure think it would be near the top of the standings for the day.
Yeah, no, that would have been Scherzer going up against the Steven Drew, who is now hitting 175. That would have been a pretty lucky guess there.
Also, nobody's worried about Stanton anymore, right?
Were we?
I think some people were.
Some people were. So that's 8 home runs in his last 10 games, I think.
Wow.
On a 50-150 pace.
Yeah.
But he can't hit sliders low and away.
Oh.
Sorry, Marlins fans harp on that, man. It's like you're missing the forest for the trees, guys.
You know, every fan base hates their team. That's what true. I've decided.
That is true.
I love the Yankees. Let me tell you
that. Ooh.
But then you find reasons to criticize what nobody who's not a Yankees fan is criticizing.
You're missing the forest for the trees. You exactly. get too close, and you're like, oh, this bark is all messed up.
Let me tell you a quick Yankee story. Today they play the Nationals. I bought tickets to this game several weeks ago. Good seats.
Patriotic game.
Fair price. Did not bother to look at the game time until 3 days ago when I said, oh, what time is that game? Oh, crap. It is a 1 o'clock game. I can't go to the game. So I put the tickets on StubHub for the same amount that I paid for them from a person. I didn't buy them on StubHub. And because I sold them for the same amount as I paid and I lost 25% of it.
Yep.
Cause that's what StubHub does to you.
That's what they do. I'm gonna go see, I'll go say hi to your Yankees. I'm seeing them next Monday.
Oh, I might be seeing them next Tuesday. So.
Oh.
At the Marlins. Okay. Yeah. You say hello, Chris. Fringy starting pitchers from yesterday. And then we'll get into Michael Franco. Will Venable's been great. Albert Pujols tied Mickey Mantle last night. And he is on a ridiculous tear right now. But the fringy starting pitchers, give me your top three from this group. Aaron Harang, 2 bad ones in a row, both against Cincinnati. And they had his number last year, too, in one start, so maybe it's just Cincinnati. Nick Martinez, Matt Shoemaker. Good start from Shoemaker, and 3 straight starts for him without allowing a home run. He's 73% owned. Nate Karns, Mike Foltynewicz, Chris Young, Roenis Elias, Carlos Frias, Jorge De La Rosa.
I'm taking Shoemaker, Foltynewicz, and pretty sizable gap after that, but probably Elias at this point. You like Martinez?
Probably go Martinez.
Martinez, there's a lot I could say about all these guys, I feel like, but Martinez allowed 1 hit yesterday coming off a terrible start that I feel like we should have seen coming, 7 earned runs.
Yeah.
His hit rate, he had a good start because he gave up 1 hit, but his hit rate on the season is really high, and he's a guy who gives up a lot of fly balls in a hitter's park. I think Martinez is hurtling toward the same destiny that we're seeing Harang have now. Harang gave up 4 home runs in this game, and he's such an extreme fly ball pitcher and such an extreme hitter's park that it's like, How did he get away with not giving up home runs before this?
I agree that it's Shoemaker, a little gap, Foltynewicz, a bigger gap, and then some mess of these guys.
Yeah.
I dropped Nick Martinez for Vince Velasquez. Would you guys have done that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, sir.
No question.
I like Velasquez. Having not seen him pitch, I feel really good about it.
I mean, Martinez just... The strikeouts aren't there. 43 strikeouts in 71 and a third. And he's got a 2.65 ERA is a 1.3 whip. It's pretty bad.
I want to say a little something about Foltynewicz if I can.
Yes, please.
because it's been two bad starts in a row for him. But it's not bad in the way you expect it to go wrong for Fulton Evich, where he's walking everybody in sight. 12 hits in 5 2/3 innings. That's just,
he
seems pretty fluky.
He shouldn't be that hittable.
Yeah. And, he's going to give us some home runs, especially to left-handed hitters, but I think, you can count on those singles dropping in the future. Like the number going down. Not actually dropping on the field.
But the number of singles allowed dropping, not the singles physically dropping.
Right. Right.
Five up and one down. Again, let's talk about Mike Franco, because he has doubled in three straight games. He went 2 for 3 with a run scored, and Franco's only owned in 70% of leagues, so I'm going to pull up the rankings here. Yes, Chris?
I feel like I believe in him so much more than everyone else. I don't understand it.
I think we may be on the same page, because I assume you and Al talked about him yesterday.
I really like him. Like, this is a guy who was a top prospect. Yep. He's hit every stop in the minors.
Yep.
He's a guy who has a decent amount of power, not elite power, but for the amount of power he generates, he doesn't strike out.
Yeah,
that's what I
like too. I mean,
he's got a 16% strikeout rate in the minors.
Right, and it's carried over to the majors, which is the most impressive part. And I think he may have more power than you even give him credit for, because the 6 home runs, they've averaged 405 feet. Hey, they haven't been cheap shots.
Well, I mean,
he's only 22, so he's still
in the minors. He had
physically.
That 130 home run season. Other than that, it was 14 in 132 games, 16 in 133 games. So I think it's fair to say he's a 20 homer guy, but
at this stage, yeah,
at this stage, you know, that's probably his upside. He doesn't walk much, but I think there is a good amount to like about his game. You know, I guess the biggest argument against him is third base is a very deep position.
It's hard to get him in the top 20. I mean,
you've got him at 22nd. I would definitely take him over Pablo Sandoval at this point. Like, for me, that I don't even think is a question.
That's fair.
Long term, over the course of the season, he'll probably have more value than Joey Gallo, although we don't know when Adrian Beltre is coming back. I think you could find room for him in the top 20 if you really wanted, but that's still 20. You know, that's,
I have him. I have him ahead of Plouffe. I mean, no, I have him behind Plouffe also, and I think his upside's higher than Plouffe.
Yeah.
I could see putting him as high as 18th.
Yeah.
Behind A-Rod and Josh Harrison at this point.
That's a starting corner infielder in roto leagues, in a 12-team roto league. So
it's a situation where you're kind of, there's such a wide array of variables to consider in terms of job security, how long they're going to be up in Gallo's case, upside versus downside. And it's like, depending on your needs in different formats, I may very well take him over Sandoval and Plouffe myself.
Yeah. I do find it a little strange that Franco is only owned in 70% of leagues.
Yeah, he's a big-time prospect,
yeah,
too.
Exactly. I'm looking up Gallo's ownership now.
I've written that a couple times in our waiver wire column where I think he's only been up like a month, and I think I've written about him 3 or 4 different times just because it's like,
really?
Why aren't you people owning this guy? He's every other prospect with any amount of hype.
Right.
We go crazy for.
I led with him on Tuesday. I don't know if it has to do with, I mean, he was bad in a September call up. He was bad this spring when he had a chance to earn the job, but it was, you know, 22-year-old doing what 22-year-olds do. He was over swinging and, you know, trying to do too much, and now he doesn't seem to be, and look what's happening.
Franco 70% owned, Gallo 91% owned, so definitely room to go up.
Gallo's upside is tremendous, but we also, and the Adrian Beltre thing, they said he was going to be back in 2 weeks. That never seemed right. Like that,
right.
To me, that always seemed like they were just trying to really push back against the expectations for Gallo, but he's already struck out, I think, 15 times in 31 at bat, their plate appearances.
Wow.
This was the concern.
Five up numbers 2 through 4 are all guys that are pretty widely available. Will Venable, Mitch Moreland, and Matt Duffy. Venable, over his last 28 games, 314 batting average, 381 on base, and a 480 slugging percentage. Venable was a 2020 guy 2 seasons ago, struggled last year. Moreland is hitting well, he's crushing righties. And Matt Duffy, 14% owned. Over the last 28 days, Duffy is the number 14 second baseman in points, just barely outside the top 12 in terms of fantasy points, and number 11 in Roto. So when you see Venable 5%, more than 25%, Duffy 14%, anybody strike you as underowned?
I think not really. I do think what Moreland's doing is interesting, and if he played any other position, I could see him being underowned at 25%. But I'm just not ready to buy into it. Venable, I would say, is underowned, except Will Myers is going to be back eventually. Yonder Alonso is hitting well at first base, so I don't think Myers is going to move to that position.
Right.
And, this playing time is going to dry up pretty quickly for Venable.
Right. Albert Pujols. Boy, is he killing it right now. Over the last 21 days, Pujols is the number 2 first baseman in fantasy. Over the last 14, he's number 1. He has 8 home runs over the last 2 weeks of baseball. Pujols went 3-for-4, tied Mickey Mantle on the all-time home run list, and right now he's the number 10 first baseman in fantasy, batting .268. This is crazy. .268, 16 home runs for Pujols, only 30 runs batted in. And he's batting .213 with runners in scoring position. And also he's came into the year with a normal spring training, something he didn't have, or normal offseason, something he didn't have in 2013 and 2014. So what do you make of Pujols in this hot streak?
Here's one thing I would point out. He has a home run to fly ball rate of 20.8%, which is his highest since 2006 when he was the best hitter in baseball. And his hard hit average is all the way down to 32.8, which is his lowest since 2011. There is a very high correlation between hard hit percentage and home run to fly ball ratio. Both are very good measures of raw power. If you're hard hit percentage is low and your home run to fly ball ratio is high, chances are they're going to meet somewhere in the middle. So this power surge is not necessarily fluky, but it's probably not sustainable.
Gotcha. Would you rather have Albert Pujols or Brandon Belt rest of season?
Oh, Pujols.
Yeah.
Albert Pujols or Carlos Santana?
Okay, Carlos that's Santana. Closer. Yeah, I would still take Pujols. I mean, I don't think, like, you say the power surge is fluky because right now he's on like a 45 to 50 homer pace. And
yeah.
He's still perfectly capable of being the near 30 homer guy he was last year.
Yeah.
So then he was better than Santana last year. So I'll take Pujols.
One down. I don't know what to say about this guy, but Angel Pagan's been pretty bad lately. Last 10 games, he's 7-43 with a double. Pagan is 38% owned. I feel like he was pretty fantasy relevant earlier this season. Yeah. Anything to say about Angel Pagan?
It doesn't seem to be happening.
Move on.
Move on from Pagan.
Yep.
In the rotation, nice start again from Masahiro Tanaka, but did you know that he has not thrown more than 97 pitches in a game yet this season?
I know that now.
Does that concern you about Tanaka? I mean, he's been so efficient.
Right, if he was throwing five innings and throwing... Never throwing 100 pitches, that would be a red flag, but I think going 7. After those first two starts, he's been Tanaka of last year. I guess the strikeout rate's down a little, but...
I mean, I think we said it yesterday. When he's going to be on the mound, I think you can count on him being a top 10 to 15 pitcher. Like, I think he's got the ability to be one of the handful of best pitchers in baseball, one of the five best.
Last four starts for Tanaka, 27 and a third, 3 earned runs, 2 walks, 29 strikeouts.
Man, strikeouts not even down as much as I was thinking.
Yeah. They
were yesterday, but...
He is a huge injury risk. Only, you know, every pitcher is somewhat of an injury risk.
Yeah, and I'm not really... Because the DL stint was unrelated to the elbow, and the velocity has actually been increasing. He's throwing his split finger.
I'm with you, Scott.
I'm starting to become not that concerned about the elbow. I don't want to overpay for him and still have the rug pulled out from under me. But if I owned him already, I wouldn't be looking to shop him, I don't think.
Anibal Sanchez, 7 2/3, 6 hits, no runs, 2 walks, 7 strikeouts. The recap of the game made it seem as if it wasn't as good as the numbers. Rajay Davis, I did see this play. He went over the wall and took away a 2-run homer, I think it was. Yoenis Cespedes threw some light out the plate. But still, an encouraging start from Sanchez.
2 in a row. All the home runs are scary for Sanchez, but there's been so many great starts in terms of strikeouts and everything else too that I don't know. I wasn't ready to bury him, and I'm still not, obviously, after two good starts. I'm a little reluctant to use him in a one-star week, but I feel like his final numbers will be much better than his season-to-date numbers.
John Lester, last two starts have been bad, and that's coming off of May, in which he had a 1.76 ERA in six starts. Any concerns about Lester?
No,
not really.
It should be noted that these two bad starts were against Miami and Detroit. They have two of the three highest OPSs against lefties in baseball.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Would you believe
that? Good buy low opportunity again on Lester, yeah, if you thought you missed your chance to buy low on him. These last two starts have probably put him back in that discussion.
Would you believe that James Shields, despite a 3.79 ERA and a 1.23 whip, is the number eight pitcher in points and number 19 in Roto. He has by far the highest ERA and whip of the top 20 starting pitchers in fantasy. The only whip that's close, really, is AJ Burnett's.
I would imagine he also has by far the most strikeouts of that group, correct?
No, not the most.
Gotta be in the conversation.
But yeah, yes.
10.9 per nine. He's already thrown 80 innings. He racks up innings. It's all he does. He has 7 wins. He's yet to lose a game. It makes sense. I'm not that surprised by it.
But what do you think about it? Because, you know, he's probably, his fantasy rank might be, like, overachieving a little bit, based on what he's done this year.
I think he's taking an unexpected route to a kind of expected place, right?
370
ERA.
Maybe
not top 10, but top 20. 380? Probably what you expected. This isn't exactly how you expected it, but
he tends to exceed where he's drafted because of all those innings.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is fourth in innings this year.
That's pretty good. The strikeouts, I do expect the strikeouts to come down a bit, but at the same time, I think he's going to be ranked very high. I mean, top 10, top 20. So much of that is dependent on win-loss record anyway, so yeah. It's kind of not worth quibbling over.
Yeah. All right. Shields 7-0. So we move on from Shields. Dan Haran actually having a decent year. Had a good start at Toronto. 6-2 with a 3.12 ERA. But I was surprised to see Haran is owned in 87% of leagues. You know, I would drop him for Velasquez, even though haven't seen him pitch yet.
Yeah.
Basically, like any high upside guy, I probably would drop Haran for. How do you guys feel about him?
I feel the same way. I mean, the season-to-date numbers, if you're just looking at those, you can understand why he's so highly owned, but I think we know Dan Haran better than that, and I'm surprised he ended up having a good start at Toronto. Homer-friendly park against a homer-hitting team, and it was a good start. His two bad starts, I'd say, were his only two at clear hitters parks prior to this one. This is only his third start at hitters park, as this was the first time he got away with it.
Right.
So what does that say?
In the bullpen, Carson Smith gave up that home run. Would you guys be looking to shop Carson Smith right now, given that Rodney news?
Sure. I think
35% owned.
I think it's smart to shop any reliever that's not like Kimbrell, Jensen, or Holland. They're so combustible otherwise.
I think you left out a few names.
Sure, but at all.
You got what he was saying.
Yeah, I did.
You get the message.
Addison Reed did not pitch well.
Pedantic.
Sorry. Shallow and pedantic, Chris. Come on, you know that.
I know the reference.
Okay. Addison Reed pitched like garbage at the Dodgers in the seventh inning, and AJ Ramos gave up that home run.
Injuries. He's never been good.
What's that?
He's never been that good.
Who?
Addison Reed, you're saying. AJ Ramos
is pretty good.
Yeah.
Injuries, news, and notes. Miguel Gonzalez left with a groin strain. Lucas Duda, according to the Mets broadcast, hasn't looked right at the plate since being hit by a pitch on the knee. So that's just something to consider short term, maybe.
Denard, body language.
Yeah, there you go. Denard Span was a late scratch with back stiffness. Justin Turner did not play after fouling a ball off his knee on Monday. Billy Hamilton was out with a sore hand. Brandon Phillips left yesterday's game with a groin injury. I'd be very interested to see who they bat leadoff if Phillips misses any time. seems like they like Hamilton ninth or eighth or wherever he's hitting.
Well, anywhere where you can get his 270 on base percentage to hurt you the least.
Matt Latos could be back within a week. Brandon Morrow's not going to throw for 2 weeks. He's got the shoulder injury. Desmond Jennings, haven't spoken about him in a while. He won't be back for at least 3 to 4 more weeks. He's recovering from his knee injury. Joey Gallo has 2 steals. Is he a steals guy?
Anybody can be a steals guy, Adam. I wouldn't count on those for him long term, but Todd Frazier, you never know.
He's got Anthony Rizzo speed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Mark Teixeira run? I don't think he could be a steals guy.
He might get thrown out.
Mike Morse.
Every other chance, but he could be a steals guy.
It was AJ Pollock's turn to sit for Arizona with Jake Lamb at third and Yasmani Tomas in right field. Pollock getting a rest. And Travis d'Arnaud should be back today. And since today is short show day, I'm going to spend the last 5 minutes reading some emails. I do want to remind everyone to go to FanDuel.com, sign up, and use our offer code CBSPOD. Play for $1 or more. Go to FanDuel.com. And if you want some advice for FanDuel or for any DFS, Daily Fantasy Sports, go watch on CBSSports.com, Daily Fantasy Live tonight.
Now, you didn't provide us the emails you're going to read. We're just going to have to listen to you.
That's right.
We're flying by the seat of our pants.
Oh, my goodness, Adam.
What I was going to say is because there was so much that happened in baseball yesterday, I ran out of time with the notes.
Come on, Adam. Let's speed this up.
There you go. I couldn't put the emails in the show notes. So anyway, here we go. From James, I'm going to read these out of my inbox. James said, please rank these pitchers going forward. Jimmy Nelson, Foltynewicz, Shoemaker, Trevor May.
We kind of discussed this earlier. I guess the only addition would be Nelson, right?
Well, Nelson would be the top guy for me.
Okay.
And then I took Shoemaker over Foltynewicz, so where does May fit in? I think he might be second, actually, ahead of Shoemaker.
Probably go third with him, but the same order otherwise.
Yeah.
So Folty is last?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what?
I think he's fourth.
That's true. That's not, you know, if he had 3 other pitchers on there, probably be worse than Foltynewicz.
I gotta tell you, alright, Foltynewicz is a rookie.
Yep.
Is
that's true. Still qualifies.
Nate Caron's a rookie?
I think so.
Is Roenis Elias a rookie?
No.
Is Carlos Frias a rookie? No, he's not a rookie.
Yes.
He is? All right, so we had 11 rookie starters last night, not 8. I just didn't put some of them in the I've got rookie list.
Yeah, Frias is definitely a rookie. And
Carnes had 24 innings over 2 previous seasons, so he is still a rookie.
Yep.
And here is Jason from Indiana. He says, Dear Abby, Alex, and Hope.
Oh, yes.
The women's soccer team.
There you go. Please rank these 4 rookies rest of season. Rodon, McCullers, Eduardo Rodriguez, Vince Velasquez.
I probably have to put Velasquez last just because we haven't seen him do it yet. But I think he's got as much near-term upside as any of the other 3.
Rodriguez first, followed by McCullers and Rodon.
I really struggle with Rodon, but I probably agree with that.
Probably.
Like, I think Rodon could be the best of the 3, but I think he needs to add a changeup that can at least keep right-handed pitchers, batters honest.
You know, the thing is, I know that Rodon walks a lot of guys. He didn't yesterday, but look at this. The opponent's on base percentage against Rodon is .354. That's kind of high. Opponent's slugging percentage is .329. So the walks are whatever. He does not give up extra base hits. I mean, that tells you a lot about his stuff.
Well, the biggest thing is for as wild as he's been, he's actually throwing the ball in the strike zone pretty regularly according to Pitch Effects. It's just that he's having a lot of trouble getting opposing batters to swing at pitches out of the strike zone, and especially right-handed batters. They're not falling for this, you know, the slider is great. It can be a weapon against right-handed hitters, but not if it's your only off-speed or secondary off.
But how is that translating onto the field? Because it's not like he's getting hit hard. He's He's got a 2.66 ERA. Well, maybe he's just not putting people away enough. I don't know. I mean, they're not.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is that batters are they're not chasing, so the strikeout rate isn't as high as you would expect.
Okay.
And the walk rate's going to be higher, so it's going to affect his whip and the amount of times he's pitching with batters on base.
Lee in Hoboken, New Jersey, grade the trade in a points league, 12-team points league. Give Matt Kemp and Shelby Miller. Get Justin Upton.
Probably a C trade.
I think it's a B minus.
Yeah, you like the Upton. I'm just not sure I'm ready to bury Kemp yet either. And
well, it's not about burying him. It's about Upton being a top 10 fantasy outfielder this
year. I guess Upton has improved his stock enough. Because I was thinking at the beginning of the season I had them ranked right next to each other, but all right, I'll give it a B minus too. Yeah.
Real quick, Bob in Chicago. Two more here. Bob in Chicago's in a 10-team head-to-head categories league. He wants to know, do you like Gong or Panic better?
Panic.
And don't last panic, one. But panic. We got a Jose Abreu trade from John. Hey, Chalupa, Burrito, and Quesadilla. Please grade the trade. 10-team 5x5 standard roto. I give Jose Abreu. I get Carlos Santana and Carlos Gonzalez.
I like that. I think that's a B at least.
I don't like that.
Boo.
I think it's a C minus. But I get why you like that, because Carlos Gonzalez has been playing very well lately.
He's showing signs of life. I don't think he's quite dead yet.
No. All right, Scott, break the tie. What you got? Again, it's giving up Abreu, getting Carlos Santana.
My mind was wandering. I was thinking about, I wish we Chalupas. Didn't have to buy organic eggs. They're so much more expensive.
We've come full circle. I'll give the trade out real quick.
My wife would be unhappy if I came home with non-organic eggs. So.
Roto League, give Abreu, get Carlos Santana and Carlos Gonzalez. Grade it, go!
I wasn't listening again!
Last time, give Abreu, get Carlos Santana and Carlos Gonzalez.
Not Bobby Abreu.
I want the side with Abreu.
Okay, that's all you need to know. Organic eggs forever. I'm Adam Azer for Scott White and Chris Towers. We'll talk to you tomorrow.